This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this afternoon. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They're here to answer your questions about dog care, behavior, and training. If you've got a question, give us a call, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Good to see you again.
And it's always good to see you, Celeste.
When is it going to be fall?
I don't know. I imagine that the dogs out at Poker Flats are
looking at their watches saying, hey, saying isn't it supposed to be
cold? Isn't it October?
Yeah, come on.
It is strange weather, isn't it?
It's very strange.
And tomorrow, 91 for the football game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? We didn't have any 90-degree days in August or July or something, right?
July. We escaped the 90 degrees.
August. Late in and now August, October, it was really warm, and early in September was warm.
Well, somebody ought to do something about it. That's what I say.
Okay.
Well, Ed's here today, isn't he?
No, he's not.
Oh. Well, that's why it's going to be so hot and miserable. Because if Ed can't fix it, nobody can.
You think he has control over it?
Okay. I'm
convinced he's the weather man, isn't he?
Well, let's move on. Dogs.
Oh, well, you know, Jim and I just talked briefly. We don't have any events at the Dog Training Club coming up this month. Our classes have started and successfully, and Jim is doing great as our new director of training.
I've done exactly nothing so far.
Well, he's
but
he's,
I've done it well.
He's recruiting ideas.
It's not easy
and
not to do
thoughts.
Some things.
Well, you haven't screwed up yet, then, right?
I've made a few people mad, though.
But, already?
Yeah, sure.
Oh my. Well, anyway, the Humane Society. I'll talk about them for a bit. Next Friday night, October 12th at Hawthorne Suites will be our 7th annual. This will be Cold Noses, Warm Hearts. Begins at 6 o'clock. You can go to our website, cuhumane.org. Call the shelter at 344-7297. Or, I think those two should be sufficient ways to get in touch with people. It's a marvelous event. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. We have a live and silent auction. We've got Tim Cavanaugh, a comedian. Remember him from last year?
He was marvelous. I stole some of his material.
He was great. And he'll be there again this year. And it's a wonderful, wonderful night. So if anybody out there is interested in attending, please go to our website or call the shelter for information about it.
Cold Noses, Warm Hearts.
Mm-hmm. The graphics this year were just outstanding. I just thought they were beautiful.
Yeah. What's any news from the shelter?
We have a lot of cats. Yeah. I'll say that. We have a lot of cats. Yeah. Yeah. And for anybody, well, I shouldn't do this, but a really nice golden doodle came in a couple of weeks ago. I haven't seen him. I've only seen his pictures. And he went into foster care. He had a few issues that just needed to be tweaked. He's 7 months old, and he's at the shelter today. He's up for adoption. And I wouldn't go see him. And he's identical to Andy, except he's a little taller, quite a bit taller probably. But the behaviors are the same, and he's very cute. But I don't need three dogs, and I certainly don't need two doodles.
Yeah.
But he's available today, along with so many other really, really nice dogs.
You have to clone yourself in order to walk everybody.
Yes, I would. Yeah. Walking two is okay. Walking three is problematic.
Yeah, especially they're good-sized dogs. Robbie's a good-sized.
Yeah, they're big dogs. And but we have so many nice.
You could train them to walk on the lead.
That was snide, wasn't it? They have I think he might still be there. He is still there. A nice Great Pyrenees that came in. And we get everything. We get every breed of dog that you could imagine.
Yeah.
Canarid? Aha, got you.
And lots of cats. And
lots of cats.
In February of 2006, we adopted a 5-year-old cat from the shelter, and he's just a joy.
Mm-hmm. He's beautiful, too. You had his picture in here.
Yeah.
He's a gorgeous cat.
Long gray hair.
That is such a pleasure.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, or would be a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was a couple of shows ago is what I mean to say, is you, Carol, you mentioned something called the honeymoon effect.
Oh.
And I thought that was really interesting, and you didn't elaborate, and I thought, gee, we should talk about that at some point in the future.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, a coworker just adopted a dog a few weeks ago, and I told her about this honeymoon period where the dog is, or cat for that matter too, they're on their like best behavior. And then after everybody starts to relax, you'll start to see more of the true personality emerge. And she started to see that. She was delighted with the true personality, but she said it was very different than the initial couple-week period when things were a little tentative. You're getting to know that animal. They're getting to know you and their environment. And Jim doesn't like it when he's not talking, does he?
No.
I like to sing.
It's so obvious. But, yeah, it's called the honeymoon period where everybody's on their best behavior. And
it can be a lot longer, and it's not necessarily a honeymoon period. It makes it sound so nice, you know. It's just but it could. Some dogs, especially guard dogs like shepherds and others, are probably disoriented. They're very territorial. They've been yanked from their territory, put in a new territory, and sometimes it will take them up to 6 months before they start to come out of their shell. Now, this is according to a friend of ours who is a shepherd breeder. She says, sometimes it takes quite a long time. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be ferocious or anything, but it takes a while for them to get used to the idea that this is their territory now. And, you know, dogs aren't as smart as we are, and sometimes it takes them a long time. So, but it's true. There is this little period of time when...
And it does vary.
You get home, and it depends on the dog. And like Malamutes, for example, the honeymoon period is about 0 days. We've had dogs for years and place them with people, and they get in the car, they don't look back. They go, they say to the people, "Where is my food? Where do I lay down? Thank you very much."
Yeah.
Yeah, some are more adaptable than others. So. Yeah.
Well, I know... last time you were here, you talked with a coworker of mine who has a recent addition to her household, a Rottweiler, and this dog had been, this is now its fourth, and
in a short period of time.
This is the permanent placement now, but so the dog was is a little like needy.
She was needy and she's anxious and clingy, and those are not bad attributes at all. Sometimes we just have to adjust our mindset to
not
understand.
Not necessarily unusual for Rotties either.
No. And you just have to say, okay, you know, this dog is, I think she wasn't, just a little over a year old. This was her fourth home. And, you know, that's a brief period of time to be bounced around. Yeah. And they don't understand. They don't go to the driver's license bureau and get their name changed and address. You know, they don't know.
Can't you tell them that this is their last home? They don't have to worry?
No, I don't think, I think that, you know, until a certain period of time passes, there's always a little anxiety there that maybe,
Well,
I don't know. We can't go in their head. I know I'd feel that way.
How's she doing?
I don't know. I'll have to ask her this afternoon. I was away for a couple of weeks, and so I'm just getting back into
the Canadian vacation.
Yeah, just getting back into the swing of things. You know, well, when we brought the cat home from the shelter, Butch, he was very, things were tentative, you know. He's a five-year-old guy, and... He was, when we put on our jackets, it was like, oh, where are we going? And also, he was very quiet, and now he talks. Oh, does he talk? But he would, you know, he would open his mouth to meow, and there was nothing.
Really?
And now he's very, very.
Well, he was just testing the water.
Well, Mr. Ed would never speak unless he had something to say. So maybe he has something to say.
Wait, did you date yourself? That's not even
at least
reruns.
I'm dating someone I love.
Well, listeners,
that's pretty clever.
Help us out now. We need a reprieve here. We need some folks to call in.
You're tired of listening to me.
Ask us some questions about dog care behavior and training. Our guests this afternoon, Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Join us with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Let's talk with a listener now, someone calling in on a cell phone, line one. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I have an adorable 13-year-old golden retriever. And he had a stroke a little over a year ago that affected his back hip. He initially, it was paralyzed for a couple of days. He couldn't use it at all, but slowly he's regained use of it. And we recently started him on some glucosamine. And I don't know if it was the antibiotics he was taking at the time, but he got really sick. And the vet didn't seem overly concerned. And I was just wondering if you had ever heard of a dog being ill on glucosamine.
I've got three dogs on glucosamine.
Just about everybody uses it.
I'm on glucosamine right now.
Is glucosamine chondroitin?
And chondroitin, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I think we have three dogs. Sorry, Tommy died. I've suppressed it. I'm sorry. Two dogs on chondroitin and glucosamine. And I'm trying to think if we gave them antibiotics at the same time. I think one of them we did, and there was no negative reaction. The vet may, and I ain't no vet, but may not have been concerned because his illness might not have been related to that. You know, it was just a coincidence that you gave those two medicines and he got sick. But we haven't had any problems with it.
No. Antibiotics, oddly enough, can make you sick. I mean, they cure something, but they can have an adverse
When you say sick,
well.
I'm thinking upset stomach, things like that.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. He threw up all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could have been the antibiotic and not necessarily a reaction with the other medicine.
I see. And the glucosamine will be, I've never used it before, so will be a benefit eventually?
It's for joints. It helps lubricate joints. And if he had a hip problem, although with a stroke, that's probably a neurological problem.
But the age, he probably needs it anyway.
Yeah, we give the glucosamine routinely to the older dogs, just, you know, because, like, I'm old and my bones creak, and it helps reduce, especially if they have arthritis, helps lubricate the joints, and it makes it a little easier and less painful.
Yeah.
And it's not a cure or anything, but it just helps.
But how long before we see enough?
That I couldn't tell you. The effects are, with me, I'll tell you, I take it every day. If I don't, after about 3 days of not taking it, like we go to a dog show or something and I forget to take it, you know, my shoulders start to hurt and my knees start to hurt. And so
Maybe I should start taking it.
Yeah, well. So it's easier to tell when you haven't taken, you know, for me, it's hard to say with the dogs because once they're old enough to take it, they're kind of retired. We don't make them pull sleds or jump over high hurdles for retrieving or anything. Mostly it's going up the stairs.
Right.
And I'm going to say if you don't see results in a couple weeks, that would be unusual.
And make sure that the amount you're giving him is of therapeutic value.
Yes.
So an amount,
tablets,
yeah, okay. Amount proportionate to his weight.
Right.
Okay.
But I don't think it caused it the illness, really.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Okay. And then I have one more question, and I'll hang up and listen to the answer. He is 13, and my husband would like to get another golden retriever. Is it too late, given his age, for him to train another puppy, or should we consider going with an older dog? And I thank you for your time.
That's such a hard one. You know, if they don't really train another dog. In a sense they do. But bringing in a young, energetic puppy with a 13-year-old golden, and a 13-year-old golden is an old dog, if that's going to cause his life to not be as pleasant as it is now, that's something you have to consider. An older dog, that might be a good choice.
He may love it, though.
He may love it. Yeah, only they know. Mm-hmm. If he loves other dogs, he might dearly love a companion.
And the way they express it, depending on how big the puppy is, of course, but if you get a 12-week-old puppy, the old guy will just growl at him and like that, and the older dog's just having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
They just love to growl and lord it over the little puppies. On the other hand, the little puppies have a lot of energy, and they're constantly running around. And the old guy's just laying there going, oh, I'm old. So that's why we don't know. It's hard to tell how the old
guy's going to react. Yeah, and if he has problems, if he has mobility problems, which I'm assuming he might, then it's a hard thing.
On the other hand, compatibility with an older dog is problematic. You'd want to get a female just to make sure that there's no dominance issues. if you got an older dog.
And maybe wait until the glucosamine, see how that kicks in.
Yeah, because it would be annoying if he's in pain to have somebody just pester the daylights out of you 24/7. So.
And, of course, that's what the puppy's going to do because it's a fellow being and, you know, they relate. Puppies relate to other dogs better than to us, at least initially.
Yeah. Let's take another call. A listener on line two, another cell phone call. Hi.
Hi. We have a neighbor who has a Sheltie. I think it's about 2 years old. It's a male, and it will not stop barking. Anytime we're in the backyard, it's just barking constantly. And it's driving all of us nuts, all the neighbors nuts. I was wondering, it's clearly not getting enough attention, and I mean, that's, I assume that's why it's doing it. Is there anything we can do? And I had heard about like a bark collar or something. So I was just wondering if you could give us any advice on things that we could do against not our dog.
Have you talked to, this is more of a neighbor problem than a dog problem, but have you talked to the neighbors?
No, well, we did a while ago. For a while she was trying to make some efforts to get him to be quiet, but now it seems like she's just shoving him outside and he's just barking constantly.
Well,
Shelties bark.
Yeah, I was going to say, barking Sheltie? How odd. No, they bark. they bark. And, of course, they're from the Shetland Islands where they have little teeny cows and little teeny horses, and they are herding dogs. And one of the ways they herd the cattle is by barking at them and nipping at them. So it comes fairly naturally to them. And why exactly the dog is barking, we don't know. There are cures for it. For one thing, you can get him another dog, and then he'll have somebody to play with and probably won't bark as much, although the other dog might start barking,
and,
too.
Yeah, she can't just take a dog over to her neighbor's house and say, here, no. Brought you something.
There are things a neighbor can do, like there are distracting toys, and toys for dogs that you put food inside, and then the dog works and works. It's hard to get the food out, but the dog will play with it for hours trying to get the food out, and that tends to keep them quiet.
And then you have the trick of throwing the kibble out?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's when I want to distract neighbor dogs, I take a big handful of dog food and just throw it in the yard so the dog sees me do it, and then it spends hours, you know, trying to find the kibble in the grass, and they're distracted and quiet during that time. Those are little, you know, shortstop kind of things you can do. But
what about the bark collars?
How can you put a bark collar on somebody else's dog?
Yeah, it's
you can't
what?
Do that. How can you put a bark collar on somebody else's dog?
Well, no, we thought we would give it to our neighbor as a gift.
Well, wrap it up with a big
I think,
knife.
You know, if it were me, I'd talk to her again. She may be oblivious to all the barking.
Yeah, it's like,
I don't think so, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like people with kids, you know, their kids are running down the aisles in the store screaming and knocking things over, and the parents are oblivious to it because that's the parents, when they hear that, say, okay, the kids are okay, they're playing. but if it's somebody else's kids, then, oh, those kids are rotten.
And that's very true.
Oh, yeah. And I don't hear my own dogs bark. You know,
I do. I mean, I keep my dog, she's a collie, and so, and she's really good. She pretty much ignores the little barker dog.
That's probably what's making him bark more. Hey, notice me.
Yeah, I know. well, thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
That is annoying, but, you know, there's
not much.
I try to be real cognizant and aware of my dog's barking. And when I let them out at 6:15, I don't want her barking at, you know, she's happy she's alive. I'm up, but some of my neighbors aren't. So I try to, you know, keep a rein on it.
Yeah. Let's talk with another listener. A listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi. I wasn't sure if you had any experience how to deal with an older dog who's lost an owner through death. My father died this last summer, and my stepmother's having quite a time with the dog when, you know, a vehicle pulls up that is associated with my dad. He, you know, he just goes crazy thinking that he's coming back home again, and wasn't sure if he had any ideas how to help my stepmother, but, you know, the poor dog.
That's hard.
Have you heard of anything that might be helpful?
Well, you know, dogs grieve.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, it's a vehicle that and it's an amazing thing to me because I can be, just coming up the street and the dogs know my car. I haven't hit the garage door yet and they'll be on the couch. And this has been true of all of mine. And they'll see my car. It makes a noise. I think the noise of the vehicle. And they know it. And if it's a car that makes a noise similar to your father's, I don't know how you could extinguish that.
My uncle passed away, and I inherited his dog, and we still have him. And
that's been 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, this dog is never going to die. He must be 15 now, and he's a little mixed breed dog and a little bit yappy. But on the other hand, nobody drives up, to our house, and that's what I want to ask you. If somebody pulls up with the car that's associated with his former owner, what do you mean by that? Somebody has his car?
Yeah, actually, they had a few vehicles, and I know she's in the process of trying to sell, one of them, and so some people kind of take it out for runs, or somebody borrows it, and so it comes in and out of the driveway, and of course, then the vehicle that she owns that is also associated with the family, but it's probably short of just getting rid of all the vehicles and just getting a new one.
Does the dog react that way only when those cars pull up? Or
Yes, only that one.
Ah.
Oh, boy,
well, what you can try to do, does she still have any clothes of...
Oh, yeah.
My thought was this. Don't wait for it to happen. Have somebody deliberately pull up in the car. The dog will go nuts. And she can distract the dog... maybe with some clothes of his, and have the dog go into the kitchen and lie down.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not extinguishing the behavior, but you're kind of redirecting it to a less, well, it's still sad, but I take it when the dog, or I'm sorry, when the car pulls up, she starts going nuts and barking. Barking,
door to door, window to window, in a frantic pace, and, really kind of frantic is probably the word.
And if there's a back door to the kitchen or something like that, just have somebody pull up, the dog will hear it, and then have somebody knock on the back door. So at least the dog will run to the back.
Yeah.
To the kitchen. Then you can show the piece of clothing, which I'm assuming will still have his odor on it.
Yeah.
And that might calm her down.
Oh, okay.
That's a pretty good suggestion, Jim.
But if it doesn't, have like a pound of liver there. Because the dog can't have this kind of upsetting reaction and be hungry at the same time.
Right.
So usually that's why food, with a dog that's upset or excited, if you give them food, if they'll take it, that'll wipe out things. If their emotions are so strong, they won't take it. But liver is just hard to pass up.
Yeah, really. Well, I know it's just going to take time, too. But, it was very upsetting to the dog. And
upsetting for your mother, too.
Sure.
Well, yeah. That's for sure. Obviously, like you said, the dog is grieving. And you hate to see, the animal go through that, too. And it's almost kind of a slow torture. And just hoping, they might be able to... I like your idea of the distraction.
Well, just to show you the history of this, in Japan, there's an old story about the man who owned an Akita.
Mm-hmm.
And every day he'd get on the train and go to work and come back. And one day he didn't.
I can't talk. Do we have any tissues in here?
We do. Hold on. Can Jim finish the story, you think?
I don't know. And the dog kept going to the train station every day. And I forgot where it's in Osaka or someplace. And
they built a
statue for the dog.
Ah, okay.
So there's a history behind this a little bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're here once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk with us about dogs, to talk about dog care, behavior, and training. If you'd like to talk with us this afternoon, if you've got a question, a story to share about dogs, you're welcome to join us with a telephone call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL.
And no sad questions, please.
Right.
Oh, here, I've got something interesting to tell you. So this morning at 7:15, the phone was ringing. By the time I got there, there was nobody there. And it wasn't my, it was a local number, so I thought, well, it's nobody I know that died, so it's okay. Nobody's sick.
I thought there were going to be no more sad stories here.
Wait a minute.
No, it is not a sad story.
This wasn't a 911
call. So I got it was my neighbor, and she taped a note to the door. Just want to let you know that dog's name, not to be revealed, came into season. Because I was so, I've been so worried about this. Because, well, Jim has seen it, but, you know, Robbie's intact. And I thought, so now for the next couple of weeks, I got to keep an eye on him and make sure that he's not out unsupervised. And they'll keep an eye on her to make sure. So I thought, well, that's good to know that, because I had, you know, if you've got a situation where you have intact male or intact female, then it's good for you to let your neighbors know when the female comes into season, because you don't want
to be a
unexpected puppies.
Speaking of being good neighbors, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, back to the woman with the barking dog. It's easier to solve a situation by being friendly about it instead of taking our bark collars a gift. I would think, but I don't know this woman that has the dog. She might not be receptive to it. So anyway, so that's my news. So I read the little note to Robbie, and I showed it to him. I said, no more outings unaccompanied by me, my friend.
And you've seen this behavior as well. You've had to deal with this. How do you guys have, you know?
Oh, it's
got to be a big challenge.
The males don't eat, and they howl constantly. And good thing we're out of town, because I think they can hear them in town, as a matter of fact. And the coyotes, I don't know what the deal is with the coyotes. Seem to be, maybe with the corn coming down, the coyotes are losing their dens or something. But the coyotes are out in the field yelling about something, and the dogs keep answering them.
Oh, my.
Maybe it was the full moon.
I keep forgetting to tell Mike Sola. I have to tell him.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I was walking the dogs at night. I walk them at night, and he lives near me. And I saw this big husky type dog from a distance. It looked big in front of his house. And then I'm walking and thought, well, there's no person there with this dog. That's really odd to see that anymore. And, you know, he's got dogs of his own. And I got to the corner and it was a coyote. I thought, what is a coyote doing here? But he was just standing there. And I thought, well, I think I'll turn the corner because I know they're afraid of dogs. But I thought, well, you know, maybe I got the, you know, friendly coyote that wants to come and say hi. I think not. So I went home.
Wiley coyote.
Well, the coyote was probably shopping.
He was probably shopping.
My brother has a little Shih Tzu, and he lived right next to a cornfield in a new subdivision. And he let his dog out, the little Shih Tzu, because there were no fences or anything. They just moved in, and a coyote got it.
Oh,
and he ran out. It was in December. He runs out chasing the coyote, who dropped the dog, and the dog was a little shaken up, but okay. And you know, my brother's like 200 yards into this cornfield. He realizes he's still in his underwear. He doesn't have his shoes on.
And he's running through corn stubble.
He's running, yelling at this coyote, drop my dog. And it was very cold, but he got his dog back.
Yeah, when Jim said coyote shop, that is what they do. They don't attack another dog. They lure the dog away.
Yeah,
and they work in
pairs.
They work in pairs, so.
And they run in circles, and the dog chases them until they're tired, thinking he's chasing the same coyote, but he ain't.
Yeah, now they're not probably going to go after a good-sized dog, although they could, but smaller prey is more to their liking, so.
Yeah.
But this coyote was all by himself, so that was odd.
This reminds me, a couple of years ago, we were talking about coyotes, and you, Carol, said, oh, I see him driving to work all the time, and Jim piped up.
How could a coyote drive
to
work?
No, he said, what kind of car?
Yes, leave it to Jim, Mr. Witticism.
So let's talk a little bit about
your
director of training.
That's funny.
It was funny.
I'm a funny guy.
I remembered it. So it was a good little story. Now let's talk a little bit about training. You're director now of training at the club?
Yeah, by default. I couldn't persuade anybody else to do it.
Well, what is involved in training trainers?
Yeah, there's the question. That's what we're having the meetings about. Because in many ways, you don't have to know nothing about dogs to teach people how to train them. You have to be a good teacher. In fact, when I went to high school, I don't think my high school teachers knew anything about anything, but they knew how to teach. And that's a skill. That's a talent. Dog trainers aren't necessarily good teachers. In fact, dog people hate humans pretty much, don't you think?
No, I think you have to have excellent people skills. You're not teaching dogs. You're teaching people, just like Jim said. So you've got to, be able to relate to the people in your class.
Mm-hmm.
You have got to, of course, like dogs. But you have to break everything down to the most basic thing, because everybody wants it done in 2 weeks.
And people are very sensitive about their dogs and their training of the dogs. They feel, if you say, well, do it this way, they feel they're being criticized. And you're trying not, because we're dealing with adults. It's not like kids.
You have to do a little hand-holding, maybe?
Well, you have to put it nicely. And I'm not a nice guy, and it's very difficult for me to pretend to be nice.
You are a nice guy.
What can dog owners learn about the process of training by trying to think like a trainer? Is that a good idea?
I became a much better dog trainer when Dode Froman asked me to assist her in a class, and I helped her out. And all the things that we keep telling people, or people kept telling me, it suddenly became painfully obvious when you see somebody else doing it wrong,
are wrong things to do.
And I made just giant leaps in my understanding.
That was last week.
It was great. I've learned a lot.
When I think back to because I assisted you for quite a few times years ago, and the mindset has changed so much, and there's so much more information readily accessible for people that want to. And people want to do more things with their dogs. Years ago, one of the primary goals people would have, they wanted their dog to walk off lead by their side. That never comes up now. People have adjusted to leash laws, and who cares if your dog walks by your side without a leash on? What's the point? I mean, why risk it? But that never comes up any longer. I think people tend to be kinder and gentler and more patient. Don't you think so? I think they do. They explore on their own more, but I think that's also because there's more information available to people. We have the internet now, which we didn't 20 years ago. Not available to most. The library is full of dog training books, and I remember getting them when I was a little kid.
I still go on the web pages and look at other people's stuff.
Oh, I do too. It's invaluable to learn what others have to offer. But there, when I was, I think our family dog Bobby, I think I was in the fifth or sixth grade, and remember the training books
when Abe Lincoln was president.
There was nothing available, and I still use that as my model. I was, very intrigued with dogs, but I don't know. Our classes are always full, which has always been the case, but it's. Yeah, I'm just thrilled that people care that much.
Yeah,
the training trainers is, as I said, they don't necessarily. They obviously have to know how to train dogs, but getting people to relate to other people that's the hard thing.
I've had several people ask me, "Well, how did you learn that?" Well, you attend seminars, you work with other people. You have to have. It's kind of a unique thing. You have to really love dogs, but you have to really, really enjoy working with people too, and that's. It's something that not everybody has. You can't, get exasperated at 6:50 because somebody's done something wrong the third time and walk out. I mean, you have to.
I keep telling you, keep your hands below your waist, so your corrections are parallel with the dog. And people have their hands over their head, and I go, where are your hands? Oh, they're over my head. Yeah, where are they supposed to be?
But it's just patience and understanding and a true love for dogs. And when people succeed, you have to. And I'm sincere about this. You have to be sincere in your praise of that person, too, because they've accomplished a great deal in a short period of time.
So it's really simple.
That's why we find ways. Jim put out an email to us all the other day. He wants to hold a meeting, which I think is so excellent, but how to motivate people to want to teach classes. So there's got to be a motivator there. Sometimes, to me, it's just an innate reward when you can see people and they remember you. If you go see them 12 years later in the grocery store and they remembered me, and that, you know, that tells me a lot. Or they'll bring another dog to my class because their other one is gone.
Carol puts a little stars on the dog's forehead.
I do. I have queer things I do. But, you know, it's like they need, yeah, I buy the gum star. So when a dog does a really nice job, I put a little star on the dog's forehead. Now, the dog does not know it has a star. Who knows it has a star? The owner.
The owner.
Mm-hmm. They work for that star on their dog's head.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take another call now. A listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi. I'm always very interested in the topic of training. It's what I do in my day job as well as working at the club, and I teach rally obedience with my wife. And one of the things that you forgot to mention about what makes a good trainer, shameless R&D, that is rip off and duplicate.
Shameless, I thought it was stealing. Research and development.
There you go. That's the official way, but I think rip off and duplicate works too. But the other thing that's been funny is over the last 7 years I've been training, I've noticed that so many of the principles that come up in training class also come up in my classes when I'm teaching people how to be better supervisors or better leaders. And
yeah,
some people get offended when I say, look, the same strategy that works with your dog is going to work with your employee.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid I say it's going to work with your child, too.
Are you jogging or something, Tom?
I'm walking.
Oh.
I'm walking.
Well, I'll tell you, I've taken up guitar lessons the past couple of years, and my guitar instructor has taught me a lot about teaching dog class or teaching anything. He's never critical, and I know I'm playing terribly. I know it. But he finds some note I hit right, and he goes, oh, you hit that note right. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really adjusted my you know, yelling at people in classes to a more positive
kind of reinforcement
thing,
you know? Works like a charm.
That's one of those foundational principles. So
yeah.
I just decided to offer that. It's been great listening to you again, as always.
Okay.
Have fun walking, Tom.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Other calls are invited, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana are with us this afternoon to talk about dogs. In terms of, you know, the club's a great organization, but there are other dog trainers
mm-hmm.
in the area, and other folks have had, you know, folks have had great results with using other dog trainers. What do you suppose, maybe this is another way of talking about what we've just been talking about, but how do you size up a dog trainer in terms of, do I want to work with this person and my dog?
Well, what I, since I'm the contact person for the club, I always invite people to come and watch a class. Just come and watch it. And I always tell my class, too, if anybody ever tells you to do something to your dog that makes you uncomfortable, then don't do it. But come and sit and watch a class. Go, just like with a boarding kennel or a veterinarian, get to know the people. Make sure you like what they're doing. Make sure you like the results. Make certain that the dogs and the people in the classes are satisfied and happy. And then make your decision from there. Just don't do it blindly. But I think, I'd like to think now that, you know, going back to the positive reinforcement, years ago, that was very fledgling
mm-hmm.
in and infantile, and it's full blown now, and it's good and it works. I think that that's important that people see that those methods do work. Now, Cesar Millan, I watch him, and you watch everything. You glean something good from so
As
many
Tom
different
said,
sources.
Yeah, you rip off,
and duplicate. You're not effective if you don't get other sources for information. I had Christmas a couple of years ago, and I've got in my dining area.
We did too.
Bookshelves.
We've had Christmas for
Stop
years.
It! I had my whole family was in, and my brother-in-law Craig was looking at the books on the shelf. He goes, "They're all about dogs." And I said, "Well, yeah, they. That's what I enjoy reading. I love reading a book on dog training. I love reading books about other breeds, but." You have to be open to all kinds of ideas.
We had a little girl come over. She was interested in sledding, and I think she was about 8 or 9. And it was part of a project for school. And what she wrote, and the parent gave us a copy, and it was, Jim and Robin don't have any pictures of people in their house, just pictures of dogs. And I looked at Robin, and I never would have thought of that in a million years, but it's absolutely true.
They have pictures of Malamutes everywhere.
Yeah. And, well, there are pictures of people standing next to the dogs.
Yeah, prize winning. Yeah, prize but winning. It's, you know, I don't think that's odd. I would hate to have my house staged, however, if they had to, if I put it on the market.
Have to, be Carol, you have to put all of this away.
And I have bare walls. Yeah. But, no, you just have to stay open-minded and interested. And
yeah, I think there are a lot of good trainers besides us around.
Yeah.
We're good, but I've heard of a lot of other good folks, and some come to mind.
Well, there's so many more venues now. As Tom mentioned, Rally was never 10 years ago didn't exist. Agility is huge, and people want to do these fun things, but you've got to have the fundamental basics before you can let your dog run an agility course. Basic fundamentals. Did I say it backwards?
No, it's redundant. You have to know the basics.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Department of Redundancy Department.
Yeah.
So what's Rally?
Rally is a series of exercises performed. It's timed. You can... Well, go ahead.
Well,
you're dying to say something.
No, Rally is a type of obedience competition, or it's not competition, where it's kind of like a sports car rally where you drive to some place and you get directions to go to the next place. Here you go through kind of a winding course inside the ring, and there are little signs on the floor that say, sit your dog, or leave your dog and call it to you, or... stand in front of your dog and finish it, have it go around you. Or they have a very low hurdle. Jump over the, have the dog come to you over the hurdle. They have distractions like food dishes. Most dogs see those and they tend to leave you and go to the. One of the advantages for handlers is you can talk to the dog. You can't use food to distract the dog or lure it, but you can talk to it. In regular obedience, you can't say anything to the dog except forward or sit. Mm-hmm. You can't say sit even. You can say heel, but and that's it, or come, and that's it. Where with this, when you're healing with the dog, you can talk to them, good dog, way to go, love you, which is what we do to train the dog to heal, but once you're doing it, you can't do it. So it's that kind of competition that people are finding a lot of fun.
In obedience, can you use hand signals?
At the advanced levels, yeah.
Well, even at any level. But you can't use them. You can't give a verbal command and
a hand signal. That's a no-no.
But you can, in the advanced work, there are exercises where you can only use hand signals.
Okay. And when you're training a dog, it's been a long time since I've had a dog. But I was like,
been a long time since I've trained a dog.
It was, you know, like you, Carol, I was, you know, maybe 9.
Yeah.
When it all started to happen, and I just fell in love with that dog. But in terms of when you're working with a dog and you're starting out with a dog, you want to work with the hand signal and the voice commands simultaneously?
Well, I do for, you know, sit or down or stand. I use those hand signals. Uh-huh. I mean, it's almost, it just occurs naturally to do that and then phase it out after a bit, the word. And it works fine. I mean, they know that means down.
Sure.
But I always have Cookie with me.
Yeah.
Does a backup.
Yeah. Well, it's great fun when it starts to pay off.
She has goldens, though.
Yeah.
They're smart.
Yeah.
Malamutes, not so much.
We've got to wrap it up here. We're at the end of the time for the first Friday in October. We'll see
let's
you
just
in
keep going.
November.
What's
we could do
coming
that?
Up? The news? Who wants
Todd
to
Gleason wants to tell us about what happened.
Yeah, they don't care. They want to hear about us.
I don't know. It was a bumpy day today in Chicago and Kansas City with commodity prices. So I think the producers are chomping at the bit. So we'll wrap things up, but we'll do it in November, and hopefully by November it'll be cooler for your males.
I hope.
Okay. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana join us on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs.